Welcome to the Masters in Motion podcast. We have a great guest today. We've got Jess Crazeman, and she is a master's athlete, I think around 38 years old. She is a tremendous athlete, and she also participates in GRID, which is a sport similar to CrossFit, but you'll learn all about that in this podcast. This podcast gets really, really fun as we dive into this thing. And this episode is powered by Thirdsy, your go-to for game-changing sleep recovery. Imagine hitting your workouts harder and waking up feeling unstoppable. That's what Thirdsy's PM Recovery Collagen does for me. It's like pre-workout, but for your sleep, fueling your body's active recovery processes without any melatonin or sedatives. Just one scoop before bed supports deeper, more restorative sleep so you can crush your fitness goals. Ready to experience the best rest and recovery? Visit Thirdsy.com and transform your nights into recovery power hours. Thirdsy, because sleep is the ultimate recovery tool. That's Thirdzy.com. Save 20% with code JASONZZZ. Let's get into the show.
Tonight, we have Jess Crazeman on the show tonight. She has been in CrossFit since, I think, 2014. We're going to dive into how she started. She's a high-level, sanctional, high-level master's competitor. Again, you can only be on this show if you're a master's athlete. So that's the built-in plus there. Very importantly, and certainly willing to learn a lot about her experiences with the Tampa Bay Brigade. She is a GRID athlete. So we would like to dive into that tonight as well. You can find her on her highly entertaining social media site, It's the Gym, Not a Runway, where she entertains, shares opinions, and also shows how very talented of an athlete she is. Let's not forget that. But welcome. Glad you could join us. Thank you for making the time.
And yeah, thank you. This is awesome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we usually like to just kind of get a little bit of background. You know, what led you to the sport that we all like to play around with and make? Yeah. And how'd you start, you know, and I guess I should say, where are you from and how'd you start? How about that?
Okay. So originally I'm from Buffalo, New York. Go Bills, Bills Mafia. As painful as it is, I took that with me. Now I live in Tampa, just north of Tampa, Florida. I moved here in 2012. Don't like snow. That was a miserable part of the whole Buffalo experience. So I had to kind of go somewhere sunnier. I started CrossFit by accident. I grew up, like, I played sports my whole life, lifted weights in college and stuff like that. And then after college, I kind of had like a crisis, like an identity crisis of like, I'm not an athlete anymore. Like, what do I do? And I'd go to like the bro gyms and like stare at myself in the mirror. And I'm like, wow, this is god awful boring. I don't know what, I'm just kind of like hanging out. People are staring at each other weird. Nobody wants to talk to each other. And I'm a very, very like social person. And it was just weird. So I found a Groupon and I was like, I'm not going to do CrossFit. That's stupid. I know what I'm doing. I don't need somebody to tell me what to do. And I went to one class and the coach looks at me. He's like, yeah, you can do the guy weights. And I remember the workout I did. It was 15 thrusters, 15 burpees, sled push down and back, 15 burpees, 15 thrusters. And it was like two rounds of that. I felt like I wanted to throw up. It was the greatest thing ever. I got to do the guy weights and I beat all the guys. And I was like, I'll come back tomorrow. This was like the greatest thing ever.
Successful, so I was Groupon.
Yeah, right? Like, what? Who does that? I went there for about 6 months and they ended up actually closing. So I tried to go to Planet Fitness, like a bro gym for like a year and tried to do CrossFit. Didn't work. So then I found another gym in 2015. So that's kind of like when I really started. Like, drank the whole Kool-Aid, all of it. And I was like, I'm in. This is great. Started coaching kids. And, the rest is history. So, let's say 2015 for real.
So, as you started along, you, found out that you were good at it. But you didn't mind competing. Because we know competition isn't for, everybody. Everybody doesn't want to push the pace or fear of failure out there in front of everybody. But did you always have, as you got more comfortable and more acclimated to the methodology, competing was on the radar? Or just because you had played sports and you kind of knew what that felt like?
Yeah, like I always liked the competitive aspect of it. I didn't really know what that meant when I first started. I just liked that I had direction and like had like measurable things to get better at, 'cause like I needed something to like go towards. Like being at a bro gym, it was just like, oh, you could do more bicep curls, great. But like CrossFit's like, oh, I could try to learn new skills. I could do like new lifts and stuff like that. And someone did mention competing. I was still playing soccer at that point. I mean, granted, it was like co-ed beer league soccer, but that was like, I'm like, I'll never stop playing soccer. And my friends were like, you should probably do more CrossFit stuff because you could like compete and like win stuff. And I was like, all right, whatever. Once I did my first competition, it's true. You just get sucked in. And I was like, oh, because I won it. And I was like, all right, I want to do this now. So once I kind of more understood what it was, I was like, yeah, I'm doing this. This is what I'm going to do. So yeah, didn't take much.
Okay. All right. That was the path. That was the
Yeah.
path. Didn't take too long. You're the gym that you're at now. Do you have a coach? How do you programming, or do you program for yourself, or what now takes you to the level that you think you need to be at
Yeah.
as you're going
So,
along?
I want to say 20, oh geez, maybe around 2020-ish. I was kind of like just hodgepodging stuff for myself because I was just doing classes and I was like, I knew I needed to work on certain strengths, certain skills. So I was kind of taking like random program stuff that I saw, but I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. And I was talking to my friend Taylor, because she does programming of TaylorMade Athletics, and she's like, listen, you're doing a lot of random stuff and it doesn't seem to be working. Let's maybe hone it in a little bit.
Refine
And I was
it.
like, okay, sure. And so she started programming for me. And it was like night and day. I was so mad at myself that it took me so long to start doing it because it was more direction. She knew me very well. She knows the things I avoided. And like my skills and my strength just kind it all kind of came together. So yeah, I've worked with her for, I want to say 3, 4 years or so. And it really helped. I mean, it also helped that I quit my teaching job, so I had time to
Okay.
work out more.
Bingo.
Small detail, you know. So it was a little shortly after I had quit teaching full time. So yeah, that helps because I had, a good chunk of the day in the middle of the day to kind of do all the programming I needed to do. But yeah, that was a huge help. I still do class now. I actually kind of took a little bit of a break after Legends, actually. I was like, I need to take a little bit of a break, focus on my grid and my business and kind of go more in that direction. But yeah, it was like night and day once I started working with her and actually took this stuff a little bit more seriously. So
And she makes you do what you don't want to do. Work on
yeah,
those
and I
weaknesses. In
hate that
other words,
she knows it so well that
it gets
Yeah,
sprinkled
I'll look
in
at
and you
something and be like, son of a. Like, yeah.
yeah,
Yep.
she
And she doesn't
tunes
let me
you.
do a lot of burpees because she knows I like those. Yeah.
Yeah, a grid and burpees. We'll get there. I don't understand that. I just it they go so fast.
Well, those, my grid burpees are a whole different, that's a
Yeah.
different, I wouldn't
Well,
do
it
those in
works.
CrossFit. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't I
My
know
heart might
Jason's
fall
not
out of my
a
butt. Yeah.
Jason's not a he's a fan of them. I'm not. I just can't go fast. So I he it,
Yeah,
no.
I liked it. We program them quite a bit. And yeah, I mean, I didn't like doing them yesterday, Rick. Just to be clear, I program them,
Yes.
but I do eat my own medicine, if that's the right,
Take care of
eat
it.
my own
Yep.
dinners, whatever the phrase is. So Jess, I was looking at your profile on your Grid League page, right? Your stats. Deadlift 327 pounds, back squat 295, clean 220, snatch 175, Helen 857, max unbroken chest to bar 33 plus. Those are big league numbers. Like those are like I mean, those are legit numbers. How old are you? I mean, you're masters, but what
38
category are you?
and a
Okay,
half.
all right. So you're in the middle
So
of
did
that
you,
dreaded category. Yeah.
when I started, so I started in 2013. I was 38, and I worked 48 now. One of the biggest challenges that I found for myself is building strength. That just it didn't come overnight for me at all. It was very hard. I'm still hitting PRs, which is awesome. But when you started in 2014-ish, what did you find? Well, one, I guess two parts. How did you get to these numbers? First of all, like that's one question. They're insane numbers. And two, were you better at lifting? Was that kind of a strength, or did you have more of gymnastics background? Maybe that was kind of an angle you came from. But maybe it's one question, maybe it's two. I'll let you run with that.
Yeah. I had no gymnastics skills whatsoever. I remember being like, man, I wish, because I used to make fun of like, oh, what am I going to do gymnastics for? Like, or like cheerleading and swimming. Really wish I swam as a kid. But yeah, I had no gymnastics background whatsoever. That was probably the hardest thing for me to get. I've lifted weights my whole life. Because I liked being the girl in high school in the weight room, like one of the only girls while the guys were, you know, doing it. The girls were in the corner doing yoga or whatever. So I've lifted weights, I mean, since I was like 12. So the weightlifting part wasn't super hard for me. Like I had a good base with squats because I did it in college for soccer and rugby and all that kind of stuff. Technique wise, took a little while to get down, like the prettiness of like the clean and the snatch. I've had to take some steps back and unlearn some things I taught myself the wrong way. So there's that. Right. But yeah, I think I had a good base of strength. And my engine was always pretty good because of soccer. I mean, I played that for 25 plus years, you know, since I was 5 years old. So I had a good engine and a decent strength base coming in. It was just learning the gymnastic skills and which Taylor helped me a lot with, especially like in the classes at CrossFit Big Guava where I'm at now. We do a lot of high volume, so it forces me to kind of get uncomfortable sometimes. And I use classes to kind of test things that I've been learning. So it's a really fun way because I like working out with everybody too. But yeah, long-winded answer to your question. I had a pretty good engine base and a strength base, and I just had to like kind of fine tune it and just push myself a lot more with the heavier stuff.
So you've got your own training that you follow from her, and you're doing class as well.
Yeah, so I'm doing class more now and less of her stuff because I would try to do both. Because I coach classes too. So I'm like, well, if I'm here to coach, I might as well do class. Up until around December, like right after Legends, I started to do, I'm like, I just need a little bit of a break from all the training that she had me do. And I kind of started weaning more into classes because our class at Big Guava, we also have like Redline and Barbell. So we have other additional classes that you can do besides like the typical like Metcon and stuff of the day. So, and I just kind of missed working out with people. I got really bored by myself. So she's like, yeah, I totally get that. Let's kind of chill for a few months or this year or whatever, as we kind of ramp up to whatever we're doing. And it's been a really cool change. Like I do miss the stuff that she had me do. And I'll eventually get back there, but I really just wanted a break from that. And I wanted to kind of be around more people.
Yeah. Personable. I could see. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you work out by yourself all the time, it does, you know, it's
great some days because I get to put on whatever music I want and dance like an idiot, but.
And you get to go at your own pace. That's the other thing. You're not waiting for everybody.
Because people don't like how long it takes me to warm up. And I'm like, listen, I need 30 minutes to get my right knee going. You got to get me. And I put like more horse gel on, which is like Icy Hot for horses. I'm past Icy Hot at this point. I need something stronger.
When did this journey become competitive? You have that as a background. I mean, you're a fighter. Yeah. And, in CrossFit, I know for me, my example is, you know, I walked in the gym and I immediately discovered a leaderboard and I was like, okay, well, I'm on the bottom and that's not going to work. So we got to figure this out.
Yeah.
But for you, where did competition start to play a role?
Like in class or like going to competitions?
Yes. All of that.
I mean, obviously when I same kind of thing, like I figured out there was like, oh, there's like a leaderboard and like a ranking system. Okay. And like, I was usually near the top, if not at the top all the time. So that was kind of like my, all right, well, I'm going to stay here now. Oh, there's guys here. All right. I'm going to beat them too. You know? So there's always like something to kind of, and I try not to get super wrapped up in it. Cause I didn't win everything. You know, you can't do that. But it's definitely like that competitive part in me. Like, oh, you want to see if you can beat me in this? All right, good luck. You know what I mean? And it's like that friendly banter that you get back and forth. And it's usually with guys. That's more of the fun part. Like even now, there's always like these couple guys in class that will like park their stuff right next to me. And I can't even like focus on my own stuff. So I don't know how people focus so much on what other people are doing, but like I can just like feel them, you know, and it's fun.
Yeah. It is so much fun. I have gone from traveling full time in an RV, doing a lot of solo training, to now having a home base and a gym that I train at. And one of my training partners is a 41-year-old female, and she is better than me at some things. And it's those particular workouts that are really, really fun. You know, when there's pistol squats and she is just, I'm quite hammering slow them on pistol squats. Okay. So I'm an old man. I look old on pistol squats. On muscle ups, I look like a nimble gymnast, but on pistol squats, we slow it down, but it's really fun when you have just people around you to race on a daily basis. It's so rewarding. So now, of course, the competitive sports side of things for you. When did that switch happen, and what did that look like?
So my first year, so 2015, when I found like my actual gym that I started at, I did like a scaled competition, and then like people started talking about Wodapalooza. And I was like, what the heck is that? Like, it's mm-hmm. a 3-day competition. Like, I had no idea what it was, but people like, hey, just do the qualifiers. Right. I ended up qualifying. So I went to Wodapalooza in 2016. So about a year after I started, holy crap. I had no idea what I was getting into. No idea whatsoever. Yeah. That was the year of Wodapalooza. I don't know if you remember that. It was like the first workout was supposed to be a salt bike and they changed it to more burpees. And I was happy about that. Oh my God. It was intermediate and I was individual. And I remember I had to do legless rope climbs and I'd never done those. And I was just like grabbing on for dear life. And like my friends in the audience could like see how mad my face was. And oh my God, it was such an experience. It was great. It was awesome. But I did not know for my first big competition, who does that? Right. So that was,
we don't start out local. We don't start out with a regional one. No, we just,
I think I did like a team local one or something like that. But like, I don't know. I just thought like, oh, sure. I qualified for this. Let's do it. No idea what I was getting into. Yep. That was a big slap in the pants. Yes.
So that began your at times love-hate relationship with Wodapalooza, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, that was still like the good times, the pre-2018 when it was like the good.
The fitness festival.
Pure Wodapalooza. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, they've undergone some changes now and then, and
yeah.
We know they're trying, and hey, they're trying West Coast.
They are. So they're trying very, yes. Yeah.
Good luck on the West Coast. I think that could work real well.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Take it out of there. So getting done with the Open this year, love to get your impressions. I know it's just the first step. I've heard, you know, on another podcast, they call it the fitness fun run. Everybody can compete. Everybody gets a medal. Yeah. You know, any takeaways now that we're through that or what you'd like to maybe see at the next?
I'm glad it's done. I mean, it's always fun. This is probably the first year that I didn't like plan my life around it. You know, I just kind of like cruised through it and I was able to kind of have a little bit less stress about it. Cause I was just like, oh, you know, we're just going to do Friday Night Lights and kind of try not to put so much pressure on yourself, you know, cause it's 25%. I hate saying that like, oh, I don't have to try hard, but it's, no, you know, I mean, you know where you're at from the first couple years or so. But I mean, it was fun. I did not like the second workout. I liked the first and the third. Did not like the second. That second one came out and I was like, I've never wanted to do a workout less in my entire life. It's probably all three things. I don't mind double unders, but I hate rowing. I am a small person. I don't like it. Deadlifts are fine, mm-hmm. but at that weight, when it's like a light, like fast weight, that's what pisses off Henrietta, my disc. Very much so. Gotcha. And I was just waiting for it.
Because it was all about cycling.
Yeah. Yeah. 125 to 155 when you can go fast. I got to be like, all right, you know, get the glue out or something. Yeah. So, I mean, luckily it was fine, but yeah, that was not my favorite.
Let's hope the programming changes a little bit more for quarterfinals.
I mean, it definitely will. Yeah. I was hoping for like a little heavier stuff. I was shocked there was only three scores. I thought they'd definitely be four or even like a three-parter or something. You know, I definitely thought there would be mm-hmm. four scores. I was hoping there was like some sort of heavy barbell. I never say that. But I know that'll come later. So I'll be patient.
And no repeats, no nothing. It was just really just kind of
I do like how simple it was as far as like floor plans. Because stuff was a headache doing your whole gym and like manipulate. Yeah. That was much easier to kind of get everybody through.
We laid out one piece of tape for 3 weeks. That was 5 feet away.
Yeah. That was fantastic. Was nice. That was great. I really appreciated that part of it. That was nice.
So we'll send that vibe back. And you mentioned your business. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your business because that ties in with your grid team.
A little bit, yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah. So I've been coaching nutrition since like 2012. And I always thought like, I got to get a big girl job, like a 9-to-5 and work for the man and blah, blah, blah. So, and I always wanted to be a teacher. So I kind of meshed the two when I was going to school and getting my master's and everything. I ended up getting a job in Florida, which is why I moved down here, teaching phys ed and health and nutrition. So I was kind of like in the classroom half the time and in the gymnasium half the time. So I got to like coach CrossFit to kids. It was kind of nice. So yeah, and I did that for about 6 years until I almost lost my mind. If you've talked to a teacher recently, you've probably heard some stories. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I was a little bit more out the door every year. And I finally was like, I need to put my experience and my knowledge and just my love for this to better use. And I wrote my resignation letter in 2018. My husband had to hit the send button because I couldn't do it. And that was it. And I just decided to do nutrition full time. I'm so glad I did. So glad I did, because I got out before COVID. If I was still a teacher in COVID, I'd be in jail because I would have killed someone. That's it.
the remote Zoom teaching.
Things that my friends said that were still teachers, I'm like, I don't know how you did that. That was insane. Yeah. Absolutely insane. So yeah,
no one knew at the time how long that was going to last. I mean, nobody wanted to learn electronically over this. So it's nutrition coaching. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So. Yeah. You have you've taken that and been able to meld that with love to ask about Grid. Grid sponsor. But tell us about your Grid career. Because from I think Tony Budding way back in the day after he left CrossFit HQ, I think he went there and then I didn't hear much. And I've only seen clips of videos and I just don't know much about it. So
yep. I mean, honestly, I'm going to jump in here. You're going to have to educate us from the ground floor.
Absolutely. Okay.
Imagine I don't know anything. Explain it to a four-year-old. Because it's very curious. And I love watching it. When it shows up in my Instagram feed, I'm like, these guys are crazy.
They move fast.
Yes.
So fast. So tell us about the foundations, how you got in it all. Tell us the whole story. We're just going to sit back and enjoy.
Okay. And then when people initially ask, I'm like, it makes CrossFit seem really boring and really slow. That's the first thing. If they know what CrossFit is, I'm like, you gotta. Yeah. So a long time ago. So I want to say like maybe 2017? So around like 2016, 2017, I saw this thing on TV. And it was the NPGL, but in National Pro Grid League. At the time, I had no idea what that was. I was just like staring at the, like, what am I watching? And it was insane. And I never thought anything of it, whatever. And I went out, I went somewhere for the day, whatever. A couple months later, so it must have been early 2017, it was during the summer, so I went to my friend's gym because I wanted to get another session in. I knew she'd kick my butt. And I was at a gym I don't normally go to, and this guy comes up to me, and he's like, hey, you should try out for Grid. And I was like, and it happened to be the brigade coach. He's like, yeah, there's a combine. You should come try out. And I was like, I can't do that. I'm not, what are you talking about? And I kind of realized what he was talking about. I was like, I can't do that. Like, there's no way. And he's like, just show up. I was like, all right, you're going to be sorely upset that you invited me to this thing, but let's go. So I go to the combine and I ended up trying out and he kind of already knew he wanted me on the team. He just kind of wanted me to go there. And I was like, you sneaky little, anyway, am I allowed to swear on this thing? You should tell me that.
Absolutely.
Great. Okay. so I've been holding back a lot. And long story short, I loved it and was like, I'm in. And that was in 2017. I had to like sign a contract. It was official and everything. So yeah, the NPGL kind of folded, I want to say in 20, way earlier, like more towards 2010. And the commissioner, Mather Rizwal, he was one of the coaches and owners of the Miami Surge, I believe. So he wanted to kind of rebuild it from the ground up, but in a more, a better, like strategic way that was more sustainable. Mm-hmm. So that he started the Florida Grid League, and it's 8 teams. We have like the North and South divisions. The North is like Tampa, Orlando, like South Florida, that kind of thing. And then the South is more on the East Coast. It really should be East and West. I don't know why we're North and South. We talked about changing that, but then we never did. So that's like the Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. And there's 4 teams in each section. The sport itself. So it's a I used to have an elevator pitch and it was perfect and I forgot it. So now I'm just going to
word vomit everything. Make you. Okay. That's okay. We're going to work.
So it's a co-ed sport and it's similar in CrossFit in that we use like similar movements. We call them elements. It's more like specific positions like football. So we have strength specialists, gymnastics or bodyweight specialists, and then utility players. So strength specialists are going to be like your like strong men, strong women who are like slinging barbells. They're never going to do the flippy stuff on the rings because no business being there when they can just sling barbells. And then we have the bodyweight specialists who are like the crazy ninja people who do the back uprises, burpee backflips, all those crazy things. And then you have utility players, which is what I am. They're more like well-rounded, but they can kind of do everything and fill in the holes or like do like pistol thrusters when no one wants to do those. Like that, when I learned I had to do 50-pound pistol thrusters, I was like, what do you need me to do? Might take me 6 hours to warm up, but I will do it. So yeah, you have very specific, there's specific positions, but they're also kind of fluid, whereas like you might have a bodyweight specialist that can do a utility movement. So you can kind of intertwine. It's very strategic because you have to put players in specific spots to get through each race. So there's 11 races that you go through, and the grid is split up into four sections. So it's like quadrant one, quadrant two, quadrant three, quadrant four. You start in quadrant one and you have like a task or something to get through. Like for example, the first race is called Partner Forward. And each race has different rules, different makeups of the players that are in there. Partner Forward is a guy and girl working together. And you have to kind of like move. So there you go. This is people, by the way. So the guy starts, does some sort of movement, and then tags the girl in. She does the same movement. And then they tag in again, flip-flop. And as you go down the grid, the weights get higher and the skills get harder. So usually after two grids, the players swap out and get two new players to kind of finish the rest of the grid. So, and things come down. The races are so fast. They come down to milliseconds. So if you get in CrossFit, it's called a no rep. In grid, we call it fault. If you get faulted, you're kind of screwed, and you got to make up some time because like there's you can't. Yeah, you these
that
people
rep
now
has
are so
to be redone.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And if you don't know why you get faulted, or you're like everything's happening so fast that you can be like, what the hell's going on? And like you could be behind a couple reps now because they just moved on.
Do those elements there's change each week, or are they the same every batch?
That's a good question. So the races stay the same, but the elements in the races are different. So like for Partner Forward, one of them is like overhead squats and box jumps. The next match, it could be snatches and dumbbell thrusters or something. You know what I mean? So it's just different. There's usually some sort of like combination of a body weight movement and a dumbbell or barbell movement.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then there's another one called Mirror where guys and girls are facing each other and they have to make a human rack with the barbell. Because once you pick it up, it can't touch the ground again until you finish, or else the whole team has to run to the beginning, and you're screwed. You've lost the race at that point. Yeah. Ooh. So there's different movements. So it might be like 10 hang cleans per quadrant, and you have to go through the hang cleans, hold it, move, switch people while you're still holding the barbell, and then keep going.
Okay.
It's a pretty cool thing. Yeah. Mirror's pretty cool to watch. Yeah.
So they're not introducing anything immediately new to you on the fly. You kind of already know.
No.
For that match, what
I have suggested that before. It's like, what if we just have a race where nobody knows what's going on? They're like, all right, calm down. Because it takes so much strategy.
That would kill the strategy
yet, but
maybe that would kill the strategy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And how many players on each side?
Up to 20. So up to 9 guys and 9 females, but you can have a couple reserve players. So 18, technically.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so then the way strategically you'll figure to rotate people in and out, really everybody does something in a given, am I saying it right? Is it a match or is it a competition?
Yep. Yeah. So there's 5 active players of each side, of 5 active guys, 5 active girls on the roster. So you have to be it gets kind of dicey sometimes because if you have a player that needs to be in like the first race and the last race, they can't be subbed out because they have to still be there throughout the whole match. So you kind of have to
like soccer sub and you're done.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So there could be some people who play in every race, some people that just play like strategically in like the third and fourth and they sub out because you need to put somebody in for the ladder, which is like the heavier race. So there's a crap ton of strategy during it that you have to kind of think about as the match as a whole. So, yeah.
Maybe this was the league, the predecessor league to what you're in now, but tying this back to the Masters community, didn't the teams have to have a Masters athlete? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the MPGL, they did.
They did.
We don't now, but ironically, a lot of us are over 30.
So okay, it's all like, right. Well, because you've got the experience now, and I mean, it's just
yeah, yeah, yeah.
done that. Okay. Yeah. So, and again, those were spread out all over the country. Here you're mm-hmm. concentrated in Florida. Makes obviously travel, and that's got to help with costs and
whatnot.
I mean, all you're doing is driving.
Part of the reason why they changed the name now to the United Grid League, because we used to, most of our teams and the players were kind of situated in Florida. Now we have teammates from all over the country. We even have a guy from Colombia that flew in on one of the teams last year. Yeah. So one of the teams actually just relocated from Jacksonville to Georgia because most of their players were in Georgia anyway. We have some players from, Delaware, Pennsylvania, California, Texas. I mean, players are from all over the place. So ideally, it'd be easier if they were all in Tampa, but teams are getting so good now, we can't limit ourselves. That'd be wonderful. Most of our team actually we have found within the area, but we did find a couple people outside. We're still looking for some strength specialists. If you guys know anybody, send them my way.
Don't look at me. Okay, yeah. So if we know somebody, not even close.
So as you have, tell us about what a season looks like.
Okay, so typically, like our seasons have changed drastically over the past couple seasons. So we used to have most of our matches in like the Valor Fitness Warehouse. I don't know if you're familiar with Valor; they're like a equipment company. Yeah. So we used to have a lot of our matches there, or in like small and like gyms. Like our back in 2017, our first match was in like this small like Berg CrossFit, and it was like a great gym, but for the amount of people that we shoved in there, it looked like you were in a cave and everyone's just kind of like on top of each other. Now our matches are at like expos of 40,000 people. And one of our double headers this year is going to be in Vegas at Mr. Olympia. Like,
okay. What? All right.
Yeah.
I'll keep my mouth shut because that leads to another question, but okay. Go ahead. So the season.
Yeah. So, our season's usually between like June and November-ish. This year we're starting in July. We typically have one match a month because we're matching them up with expos. So we'll start at the USA Fit Expo in July. There's a Miami Fit Expo in October, in August. And then there's one in September. And then October is, I think November then is Mr. Olympia. Oh, October is Mr. Olympia, sorry. And then, like, playoffs will be in November. So we have one match per month. It used to be a little bit more condensed when we just had it, like, locally. But now that we're getting bigger, we're trying to match this season up with specific expos. So, and teams have practice, obviously, throughout those times as they see fit. We'll have typically 4 to 5 matches. And usually we have one doubleheader in there. So you're playing 2 matches in a day, which is sometimes a lot.
It has to be taxing, yes. I was going to say. So you're pulling in, again, from people from all over the country. You're pulling them in. Mm-hmm. If you're going to have practice, I mean, that's, you know, it's a commitment.
And yeah. Most teams are understanding. We'll say like, hey, join via Zoom. We've even done that for people last year. Hey, just be here on the Zoom thing and we can kind of fill them in and cue them when to go when we're practicing and stuff like that. So most teams are pretty flexible with that. Some players do fly in, but we're planning on having practices a lot more frequently. So we don't expect people to do that. Every week.
Gotcha. So I know in Columbus, down south here, there's the Arnold Fitness Festival. Mm-hmm. If that were in the right time of year, that's the type of venue that you're looking to partner with, because there's a lot of people at these expos that just bring more eyeballs onto the sport.
Yeah.
If that were in the right, not March, but if it were in later in the year, it's something you guys would. Okay. So things like that.
I mean, the ones we've been at, they've had like arm wrestling, bodybuilding, Highland Games, Ninja Warrior. I mean, it's insane.
It's everything. It's everything nuts. Fitness related. But people are there. You're not just saying come to this grid match. It's already kind of the attendance is kind of baked in and then people wander. Perfect. Good idea. And so playoffs, the divisions work down, I would say, and there's a semifinals.
So like the top two in the north battle it out and the top two in the south battle it out. And then the north and south play each other.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I don't know. It's nuts.
How have you guys done? How is your team done?
We actually were the first champions of the whole thing. In 2017, that was pretty cool. And then we lost it by 1 point the next year. That was gut wrenching. And then we won it again the next year. Actually, that was when that hurricane came along. We were supposed to have our championship match, but Dorian.
Okay.
Sounds right. Yeah, does that sound right?
Yeah,
so it actually canceled our championship match, so we had to split it with one of the teams. But we were on a really good run, and then the team started kind of figuring things out and getting better, and we're like, oh man, we can't like slide by anymore. So 2 seasons ago, we just had some freak injuries, man. Like 3 or 4 people. I mean, one of our guys, we call him Ninja, he fell off the rings in a ringer point, which is like a 1v1 type of situation, broke his ankle. And that just kind of screwed the rest of our season because people couldn't do what he could do.
Yeah,
we had a couple people just get really like freak injuries, and that kind of like turned into last year being a rebuilding year. So this year we've kind of cleaned house of like certain personalities that we found were like really just not meshing well. Just like as far as like individual mindset versus like team mindset. And we found some really like really good people so far. So I'm really excited about just even our team dynamics so far. Cause we have some like raw talent that have like, they're new players and they're just like, I've been following this and like, I want to play, like teach me everything. So we had a really good combine and filled, we've never had a roster this big so far. So we're looking to max out our roster. Usually we get by with like 5-6 guys on five or girls on each side. And we just put people through the ringer. Now we're like, listen, we're going to fill our roster and everyone's going to have like perfection in the races that they're in. I got sick of being in every race. That was
I was going to say, and not overtaxing in your case, the utility players to do everything. I can tell by the excitement in your voice, how passionate you are about it. How has that translated to like attendance? Other team, I'm assuming the teams have stayed together. You haven't had issues with teams coming and going or anything like that. Has it been a pretty stable league?
Like in teams terms of support? As a whole?
Yeah, teams as a whole. Like, okay, there just wasn't
there was
enough.
So the South has had more shakeup in their teams. There was actually a couple teams that dissolved and like made a new team. This was like back in, I want to say maybe 2020. One of the teams in the North just got new ownership. So they used to be the, the Jacksonville Steel, and then they were the Gainesville Wild. They just moved to Atlanta. Now they're the Atlantic Wild. But most of the teams have kind of either we got new teams because we used to only have 3 in the North and 3 in the South.
Okay.
So we gained a team in each. And there's just been some times where like, hey, an owner was like, I've ran the course. Like, I don't want to do it. Because we used to have the Miami Freaks. They left, I believe, in 2021, and then we created a new team from that. So some of those players kind of went to the new team. For the most part, the teams kind of stay together, and the ownership renews every year.
Yeah. And so there's been good traction, not only from the teams, but from a fan engagement and an attendance standpoint. I mean, there's because you the way you've described this, I don't know how I would tune in. I mean, if I'm not in Florida. You know, can I watch it? Is it streamed? I mean, because,
we're
in the Masters community. Everybody bitches about coverage and streaming and this.
Right.
And that.
Oh, I know.
You
know, yep.
I mean, come on. So you guys have obviously figured this out to the point where these matches are live streamed. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
but it's live streamed. So it's taken a few years, the past year or so, but it's on their YouTube and you can go back and watch past matches. 2020 is when things just like blew up. Like, I don't know if everybody just got bored and all of a sudden they started watching more stuff online, which I guess is what happened. Mm-hmm. But Grid League went from like a couple thousand followers. They have over 1 million followers now across all their platforms. It's ridiculous. And anytime they like tag me in a video, I'm like, oh God, my phone's not going to stop going for like 3 weeks. Just everybody get, you know what I mean? It just blows up so much. Yeah. Their matches are live streamed and, they do play by plays and explain everything really well. And then it's still on YouTube if you want to watch it later.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay. See what I've,
who are some of the big sponsors, in this sport or big, you know, big players?
So Element is a big one. Rebuilt Meals, Carnivore Snacks, Innovate sponsored us last year. I'm not sure if they're coming back this year, but we all got shoes to try out, which were really cool. I think there's a couple of new ones in the works for this year, but those are big ones that we've had in the past.
Yeah.
Truly, we had them.
Nice.
Yeah. Who knows what I drink when they're playing? You know, that was kind of nice.
I was going to say.
Olipop. It's like an alternative to soda. I'm sure there's ones I'm missing and they're going to kill me, but yeah.
Okay. All right. So businesses have found that the eyeballs that you're talking about in terms of following and views has translated to, hey, it's worth sponsorship. I think a lot of the Masters events communities are, I hope they're looking at things like that too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just such a wide audience and there's such a variety of athletes. I mean, we have some that are actually, we had a kids grid league. And this past year we brought up two of them to play on my team. So it's like, we have like a farm team. So we have like, thank God you're bringing our average age down. Cause it was getting up there. but now we have a couple 18-year-olds, on the same team as me and I'm 38. So it's like, We have such a wide range of athletes. It's like different sizes, different backgrounds, everything. I mean, it's, I don't know any other sport. And with guys and girls together doing the same stuff against each other. Like, I love going against guys. It's like, all right, see the finish line.
Instead of dividing the competition, unless you have a CrossFit team event, which will be, traditionally 2-2, something like that. So as long as the health holds up, this is something that you can see, even longer in your future. Because of the entertainment, the athleticism that's required and that you find enjoyment from.
Yeah. As long as my body will still let me, I think it's a little more taxing than CrossFit sometimes simply because of just the speed you have to go at. As long as my body will still let me do it, I'm going to keep doing it.
And it's interesting because it has a specialized nature to it, right? You can be the specialist. You don't have to be the jack of all trades that you have to be in CrossFit. You can have a specialty. You mentioned earlier that there's a lot of crossover in movements, but there are some movements, there's differences as well. Like you have your grid burpees and you have your CrossFit burpees. Talk about that and maybe even some of the other differences, the way we do ring muscle-ups versus butterfly ring muscle-ups, if that's even what it's called, which those are some of the things I've seen on my feed, but tell us a bit about those differences.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny because like the past couple years of the games, we'd predict what they would see us do. We did toes to ring one year. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing ever. We did had to do like 60. It took forever. And then the next year at the games, they did toes to ring. I was like, wait a minute. And then we'd do freestanding handstand pushups. And the next year, I was like, wait a minute. And we do pullovers. And I was like, I know they did pullovers earlier, but now they're doing pullovers. And I was like, they're just copying us now. But anyway, so in grid, everything is about like efficiency. So if you can take a movement and follow the standards and make it as efficient as possible, that's what you're trying to do. So for burpees, I don't know how it came about, but I've heard them a lot of things, but like helicopter burpees where I literally just, I don't know if you've seen them, but I don't know how to explain it. I fly over and pancake myself and then lift up and fly over and pancake myself. And I just,
You're never that high off the ground though. I mean, we've said how, the more you stand that the longer it takes to, go from top to bottom. So, but you're staying very low to the bar.
Cause I just want to make it as efficient as possible. I actually asked Taylor one time, I think it was at Legends. I was like, can I do my grid burpees? She's like, no. And they ended up being like lateral. So I couldn't, but I wouldn't do them in grid in CrossFit because they spike my heart rate so much. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I did it, I almost ran into a wall because I was so dizzy. I had to get used to it. They are much faster. Like one of the, we have something called a ringer point and it's 1v1. So you take somebody on your team who you think could be anyone in the league, anyone that they have on their team, and then they pick one person. It's just 1v1. So my ringer point is always the burpee one. It's 10 burpees over the bar, 3-0. Knock on wood. I do about 10 of them in 12 seconds and have to run out of the grid. It's incredibly stressful, but it's really fun when it goes well. that's just a little different as far as that movement. There's other movements that like pistol thrusters. I haven't seen that in CrossFit yet. Who knows? Maybe it's coming. Butterfly ring muscle-ups have become really, really popular. There was only a couple people who could do it maybe even 3 seasons ago. Now more and more, now it's like, if you can't do it, it's weird. You know what I mean? So teams almost every single team has somebody that could do them now.
I need to look that up. I can't picture a butterfly.
Yeah. The first one you instead do regular and then you just go like this, fall through. And it's, I don't do them. I will never be doing them. And I'm totally fine with that. Butterfly ring muscle ups.
It's weird looking, but it's not super uncommon from a ring gymnast perspective.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You do from in gymnastics, you will go back and extend and swing through the bottom as opposed to the way we do them in CrossFit, which is very slow. It's really funny when you mention it and you think about like how slow ring muscle-ups are compared to a butterfly version of a ring muscle up. Or I did, I mean, while you were telling us, I snooped on your Instagram and I was taking a look at your burpee box jump overs, where you were doing lateral burpee box jump overs. In the first five or six, you were jumping over a 24-inch box laterally after a burpee, and then you broke down and started touching the box briefly. And I'm just like, dude, I don't think I could do that. And that's like my height on a box.
That was a split moment decision, because so that was during the sprint relay, and I saw I was going against a guy, and I'm like, crap, he's gonna clear the box, so I have to clear the box. And I was like, literally, I've never done that before, and I was practicing in the back in like this little 2x2 space, and I'm just like, I don't know if I can do it. I'm just gonna wing it and see what happens. And I did like five of them, and I'm like, I might trip if I keep doing this. So that's
You lose that explosion a few in and then
one time.
It was a little terrifying, but I was like, I am 5'2" and my knees are in my throat, but I'm going to try this. Yeah.
Well, and that's, there's got to be something as a spectator that's a little bit fun. It's like watching NASCAR. You it's going so fast. You do want to see how fast they can go, but you also kind of want to see them crash. Like there's a little bit of like, you know, you do want to see someone just yard sale on a box jump over because of the aggression, right?
Yeah. So there's, speaking of crashing, there's one of the ringer points is a suicide sprint. If you can, I have a video of this if you want me to send it to. So it's, we did it, what was it, 3 seasons ago? So you sprint to the first quadrant and back, second quadrant back, third quadrant and back, fourth quadrant and back and out. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
It's stupid long. Our coach was also a player the 1 year, and he went against Sam on the other, this guy named Sam Martin on the other team, who was a track sprinter, college, whatever. They had, it was insane how fast they went. And then at one point, they were running back to the start line to then run through the finish. And our coach just bites it and starts rolling as if he got snipered. We're like, oh my God. And then Sam fell down. Maybe Sam fell first. Yep. Sorry. That's what happened. Ruining the story. Sam, because their legs were just dead. Yeah, he was
jello.
Sam tumbled forward. We're like, oh my God, we're going to win. And Chris gets up and Chris is running. And then Chris falls down. We're like, oh my God. He gets up. And then Sam falls again. Chris falls again as he's diving into the finish line. And we won it. And we're like, we should not have won that race. It was just, so I made a video of, I think it was Lone Ranger, or some sniper movie of them just being like, boom, boom.
Yeah, American Sniper.
Like rolling. Yeah, I made a lot of versions of that. But it was so, and we're freaking out. We're like, oh my God, oh God, no, and just up, down, up, down. So that's what that reminded me of. It was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. Yeah.
Well, so that has to get,
has to get the crowd excited. Yeah. Things like that have to get the crowd really engaged, because they're quick races over and over and over again. And I know that one of the challenges in watching a CrossFit event, if you don't know CrossFit, is you don't know what's going on. Every event is so unique and so different that it's hard to pick up what's going on in this event. And that's where commentators have a big job to explain this event. And then while it's happening, continue to explain what's going on to my parents who are watching, right? I imagine Grid League has that kind of excitement. It's just fast, really, really fast. And I imagine very quickly, once you see what they're doing, you pick up like, oh, I see the race. The race is obvious, and it's not a long endeavor. It sounds like a lot of it is, this is how new I am to this. Like, it sounds like this is a lot of sprinting. Is that a fair statement? A lot of tight races. Yeah. Makes it for very races exciting, very spectator friendly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, cause you can be watching a race. Like I mentioned, somebody gets a fault and the other team's ahead. But if they slow up and they catch up, I mean, it goes back and forth. It's crazy. But you could just watch, because you know it has to go from the beginning of the grid to the end. So even if you have no idea, you know,
that the end zone is down there.
There's a progression all the way through.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Well, that is just super fun.
If you ever get to see something live, you see one live, go. Yeah. It's just like 30-second to like 1 minute sprints, and you're... super fun.
Recovery is key. One last thing I wanted to kind of bring up, and I know you just talked about it a little bit, is your social media. Most people just post to post. They don't have the skill, I think, that you've developed, or the ability to tell a story. And I wondered where that came from, or, what kind of reception did you get at the beginning? And, now you know, you obviously have a big following of just, you know, people are looking for the stories that you tell, the faces that you make, you know, the complaints that we all have, but I just don't vocalize them on social media, but you do.
Yeah.
So how did that get a start?
Dude, I don't even know. So it's funny because I thought Instagram was stupid. And I was like, Facebook exists. Why do I need Instagram? Facebook does everything that Twitter and Instagram. My friend's like, you can get free stuff. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I found a tank top I got at Wet Seal because I'm like, what do I make my name? And it said, it's a gym, not the runway. I was like, all right, I'll choose that and change it later. Little did I know how accurate it would be. And I just kept it. And I used to just post like random stuff or like my workouts. And then I don't know when the change happened, but I just stopped caring and just started posting more of like myself more, I guess you could say, of like just voicing things that annoy me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And people, for whatever reason, enjoy it and think I'm funny at times. And I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to keep doing it. It's always like dumb stuff just happens to me. I don't know how I'll fall. People are like, how does this stuff always? I was like, I don't know. Yeah. I really don't know. It just happens all the time. Or I'll just like things that I think in my head that I think maybe someone else relates to, or they think is like, oh, that's true. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just my daily life and it just happens to work. And I wish I had a better like story, but I don't.
No. That's fine. It takes a little time, doesn't it? And I'm speaking to two pros here between you and Jason, my goodness, for crying out loud. It's not something that's done, you know, very quickly.
The silly thing is, Rick and Jess, I wonder if you'd agree that, like, you know, sometimes you'll work your tail off on a post. You're like, this is gold. And you share
I already know what you're gonna say.
And it's crickets, right? and then the one that you're like, you know what? I'll just, I happen to be recording at this point. I'm going to throw this up there. You're like, what is this? Why do they care? Are you not entertained?
No sense. I posted
the algorithm has like its
two power cleans at like 170. And I'm like, why is this so popular? It's the dumbest thing I've posted in a while.
Right.
And then I'll like put a lot of effort into something and like, oh, that's cool.
Yep.
Three likes and I'm like, I quit.
Yep.
I don't,
three likes. And you know immediately because you post it and like you're just gonna check 15 minutes later, you're like, oh, it's a dud. Dang it. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's not igniting, it's not doing anything. All right.
And I think
back to the basics.
Stop caring about what I should post and like screw it. It's either gonna if it's what I want, then that's all that matters. So
It's a way for you to tell a story. And frankly, it's pretty easy venue to do that, you know.
I figure there's enough people out there just doing like, I don't know, like selfies or like the boring stuff. It's like, I don't want to be like them. Me. I'm just gonna be my...
No, seriously, I don't have the talent. I don't have the talent like you guys do. So that's
it's quite my wife will often say, she'll often grab a camera when I'm doing something and say, hey, what are you doing? And then I just tell her what I'm doing, and she's like, yeah, that's gold. Like whatever I'm doing, like I was grilling meat one night, you know, just on the grill. And she's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm grilling a pound of meat before we go out to dinner because that's what I do. I pregame a pound of meat before going out to dinner. So I don't end up going out and eating a bunch of junk. So I'm kind of full. Like I'm pregaming a pound of meat. And of course it took off, but she's like, that's not normal. And so whenever she comes across me doing something that's abnormal, that's normally the stuff that like, yes, people are curious. Yeah. That's not normal. I caught your one where your belt pops off. You're like, I was too swole for this belt.
Yeah.
I mean, just really, really fun post. And honestly, sometimes you just have to have, Rick, this is our tutorial to you.
Thank you.
You just have the camera running.
Yeah.
And see, that's my mistake.
Shit happens. And you're like, okay, there, I got something. And sometimes you're like, you got 25 minutes of footage.
Yeah.
It's garbage. Let it go.
Just delete it.
There's no need to save it. Yeah, delete it. The delete button is your favorite, is your friend. It's okay.
Yeah.
I had to clean that up. So Jess, what does the rest of 2024 look like for you? Obviously Grid is coming up.
Yeah.
But are you planning on quarters, you know, to, you know, see what happens?
Probably. Yeah, probably. I think Grid is just because I took a larger role this year because I've been part owner the past couple seasons, but now I'm kind of taking more of a role in that on. Okay. And it's been taking a lot more of my time, which is not a bad thing. Like just looking for sponsorships for our team, for individual players, looking for players. Like I didn't have to do that stuff in the past. And it's just been taking a lot more of my time, which I'm kind of excited about because of how much we're growing. and like trying to fundraise for players when we go to Vegas and just helping them out and doing that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's, and focusing more on my business because I want to make sure that that's still growing and doing well and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, CrossFit's always going to be there for me, which is great. I mean, I hope it is. You know, and I'm constantly feel like I'm fighting my time between Grid and CrossFit sometimes. But because now that we're kind of like ramping up Grid a little bit more, a little bit earlier, I feel like that has a little bit more of my focus. But I mean, quarters are there. I'll do them, see what happens. I'm trying not to put too much stress in one way or the other because that's fair. Usually when I go nuts.
Take it one competition weekend at a time.
You were fit enough that you might accidentally make it to the games and then have some tough choices.
Right? Like, now what do I do?
Whoopsies. Yeah. Whoopsies.
Well, that's the thing, too. Where, like, they made the changes last year. I'm like, shit. Now it's like...
It's a bigger field, especially for your age group.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Hey, yeah, just roll the dice. See what happens.
And we'll see you in Birmingham. That's where I live. You are more than welcome. We have a sauna. We have a cold plunge. After every night, I think, of the games, we will have all of our friends over and we will just mass pack the sauna and fill the ice barrel, drain the ice barrel every day. Just too many people. But but it's okay. We'll figure it out and have a little party in Birmingham.
It'll be nice and hot there in September. So thank you so much for spending the time with us tonight.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me
I learned a lot. I've got a lot more to learn on Grid and looking forward to it. So thank you. And we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
One more time to follow Jess, guys, if you're listening, it's the gym _ not a runway. Really easy to find, or you can just look up Jess's name, which I did. You can Google Jess Kreizmien, which is Kreizmien.
Yes.
So I butchered that name and Google found you. It was easy. Google self-corrected it. No problem. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This was great.
Thanks for tuning in to the Masters in Motion podcast. We'd be so grateful if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast app. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Your support helps us reach more listeners and grow our Masters community. Until next time, get bolder, not older.